93HL with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
Great job, 104.5 The Zone, Brent Daugherty and not Don Davenport. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Babs.
As I said, that is not Don Davenport.
That is not Don Davenport. That it is who?
Ron Slay.
Slay Ride in the building.
So are we going Slay Ride 3HL or Boom Boom Room? Or is,
you know what?
Is Boom Boom Room like its own thing and it needs to stay its own thing?
It is, because the Boom Boom Room is a separate entity. You know, you get on the Boom Boom Room and anything goes in the Boom Boom Room. It's the language. It's a little different. It's a little free-flowing in the Boom Boom Room. Slay Ride's a little more tailored for the people, for the kids. It's like being at an amusement park. You get on the sleigh ride. And the kids get to ride. It's safe. You know, you don't got to worry about going on no loops or anything. The Boom Boom Room, you go in that room, they lock the door. And ain't no telling what's happening, how you got to get out. So,
and nobody's getting out until you say they get out.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So, but when did the Boom Boom Room come into existence? Like, is that something you used to tell people on the basketball floor?
Yep. It started my freshman year. Going in the SEC play, my favorite movie was Life. Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence movie, man, a great comedy. Love it to death. And Ray's Boom Boom Room people, they were all locked down in the bunk, and they were he was imagining a Boom Boom Room, which was a club for him in New York City, where he was from. He said, "You ought to be able to come up there," and everybody was imagining, and it was Ray's Boom Boom Room. So it just turned into the Boom Boom Room, which turned into the paint. So once you stepped into the paint, I used to always say, man, you got to pay admission to get in here. And we were saying it started with Auburn. Auburn didn't pay admission, and we ran them up out of there.
I just wish that, for those that don't know, Ron Slay played basketball at, we said this yesterday, but Pearl Cone, also Oak Hill, and then one of the most highly recruited guys in the country goes to Tennessee, becomes SEC Player of the Year his senior year after battling back from an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into, but so the paint was the Boom Boom. I wish that you could have been mic'd up.
Oh, you know what? I got tweeted. My assistant coach, Kerry Keating, who was with Buzz Peterson's staff, Coach Keating, he texted after put the highlight video up of me dunking, responding to Jimmy Dykes, and he said, man, where is that highlight video of you talking the preseason video? And he was like, man, dude, you had some great one-liners in that. Whoever can find it, we got to find out what it is. So I'm gonna reach out to VFL Films and see if they can find it.
Yeah, I want to hear you trash talking people. That's what I want.
The Kerry Keaton's favorite line was, my mama raised me for this. That's how I started the video off. My mama raised me for this.
Did you ever have a situation where a coach would be like, hey man, you gotta tone it down?
Buzz.
Oh, Buzz did?
Buzz did it, man. Listen, we start the season off, him and John Higgins, a big article. I forgot who did it in the Tennessee.
Did you know that Buzz Peterson was in Michael Jordan's wedding?
No, I didn't at the time. I didn't. You know,
I only said that because every time somebody mentioned Buzz Peterson's name, they would say
that. It got to come up. That's his claim to fame, you know. So, yeah. But he did. He tried to silence me. And my first two games were horrible. He told Coach Conroy, go tell him, man, just be yourself. And it was on ever since. So.
Jerry Green and Buzz Peterson, two very different people.
Oh, yeah, one that want to play shirts and skins, and then you got the other.
It's funny because that was the book on Jerry. Like, we used to always say, he just rolls the ball out there. But that was true.
He did. But I will say, the guys around him knew how to recruit so well, and the competitive spirit was so high. He really had to get out the way. That was probably the thing.
Just kind of get out of the way.
Yeah, and that's what kind of beat us in the end, too, because we needed a tad of Kevin O'Neal, 10% of Kevin O'Neal.
No, you didn't need it either.
Just 10%. Because listen who our coach was. We go to the Hawaiian Rainbow Classic in Hawaii, and Coach Green hurts his toe before we go. He gets off the plane with one shoe and one sandal on his hurt foot. Like, why not wear two sandals? You can wear a shoe and a sandal. What are you trying to get traction and comfort at the same time? Like, man, I don't know, man. I was just
wondering what Jerry Green's doing right now. Man,
At his beach house? That's what he said. Me and Nancy will be at our beach house when y'all fire me. And that's the way he went.
So that was the Sweet 16 team, your freshman year?
My freshman year,
And you played North Carolina, I remember.
Ed Coulter, Joe Forte, Brandon Haywood, Julius Peppers, Chris Lane.
Talk to me.
They had a team. Jason Capel, who's up at Pittsburgh.
So I would imagine, like, so if Jerry Green figures out, I just got to get out of the way of this group.
Yeah.
That the positive of that, I think, for that group would be that you guys play with complete freedom.
Right, right.
That which is I think would be good, right?
It would be. It would be. And you got to look. One thing, he relied on the guys that got us there. Tony Harris was in a slump that game. Harris Walker was playing really good, but he wouldn't take Tony Harris out. And he let Tony play. Tony was our leading scorer, averaging about 14 to 15 a game.
Yeah.
He had three in that game, and that three came at the last minute when it didn't matter. But Harris was playing really good. Put him in, totally different game. But, hey, you know, everything's good in hindsight.
Tennessee Vandy, we'll get to that. Tennessee wins 70-58. Weird situation over at Memorial Gym in that Vanderbilt announced, I don't know, 30 minutes before the game.
Right.
That its two leading scorers would not be playing and three total players.
Yeah.
Which
big players.
Which is tough on people that were betting the game.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's why the NFL is so transparent on the injury situation. It's because of people betting on sports.
Yeah, and that needs to carry over. I almost got in on the action, man. I missed it, man. I missed it by a hair on my chin, dude. I tried to get my bet in so fast to get that – that 7.5.
Before the line moved.
Yeah, it moved to 12.5 so fast. I was like, yeah.
Well, and that's what's funny. So it moves to 12.5, and then Tennessee wins
by 12. Dude.
And I think I think it was like 73% of the public money was on Tennessee, surprisingly, because I would have gone Vanderbilt.
Vandy
on that deal. But, we'll get into that game. Titans news, Ron Slay. Tom Pelissero reported the Titans are releasing wide receiver Adam Humphries. The move saves Tennessee about $4.47 million. I'm still pissed off about the whole Adam Humphries situation.
Yeah.
Because he got lit the hell up against Cincinnati, and no penalty was called. And then the guy wasn't right the whole rest of the year.
Sure wasn't.
He came back and played in a game, and I remember Tannehill was hot, and he tried to hit Humphries on a little – slant route down around the goal line, and it went right through his hands. And I joked about it on Monday. It went right through his hands and hit him in the helmet. And I'm like, man, he probably got a concussion out of that. You know, the ball hit him in the head. I was just kind of joking about it.
Right.
But then I think he did.
Yeah.
He was and never I right. I felt awful.
Yeah.
I still feel bad about that swing.
Same on you, Brent.
I know. but that saves them almost $5 million. So they're looking to get a little more cat-friendly over there.
Starting to dwindle on down.
Yeah, and then they signed Julian Taylor, 6'5", 280. Seventh-round pick in 2018, San Francisco 49ers. Played a little bit, and then in 2019 tore his ACL. So he's battling back from that. But, again, you did that. Much different now. But for you, how hard was that?
It was
process,
very, very difficult to get out of your way mentally, because before you get to, like Coach Mack talked about yesterday, before you have the surgery, you got to get back to like you never even had the injury. So you had to strengthen the knee and everything. And when you strengthen, you feel like, hey, man, I can go back and play. And then you go and have the surgery and your leg turns to jello again and you got to go through that mental process. But I will say, man, they gave me 9 months. I was back in – but I had my surgery in January. I was back beginning of June 1st.
Wow.
Yeah, I went at it. I went at it crazy
and
hard.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, back then, it was a lot different than it is now. And Adrian Peterson did that.
Yep.
And that's not easy, man.
No, it's not. It's
so
not.
That was like a full-time job, right? Just the grind of getting back.
Yep. I really thank my professors for being patient with me, because it was many times I was like, man, I don't even want to be in school or anything, but they worked with me. You know what I mean? And it was in the training room 24 hours a day. That's how me and Chad Newman have a great relationship, because without that, it
long-time
doesn't happen.
Trainer in Tennessee, still there.
Oh, man. That's my guy. He got me back, man.
Chad Newman, he knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yes, he does. He does.
There was a body buried last night.
Dead body!
I thought about you when I saw Keon cut baseline. I was like, uh-oh, here we go. If he catches this pass, it's going down. And
this
it did.
The one.
And the ball came and God love Keon. I love Keon.
Yeah.
I feel so good for him that he's having this success. And and that he'll probably be a lottery pick and all those things. But he was having a tough night.
Yeah.
And he turned the ball over five times, I think, at that point. But, man, he needed that. And, yeah, he threw it down through the net, hit the guy in the face.
Yes, it did. And then he
sprayed
that.
Which I didn't notice. I didn't notice until I saw the replay.
Oh, I did. I did. That's what did it for me. When that ball smacked dude in the face, and then after that he comes down and screams at him, that's tech worthy. That's tech worthy in Memorial Gymnasium.
Especially in an empty gym where everybody can hear what
man.
You're saying.
That was big time, though. He really, really needed that. Because you saw his effort all night, him wanting to press and get some good things going. So, good for him, man.
He's so close on a lot of those. Like, it looks like he would rather have, like, 15 assists to me and, like, 10 points and be good.
The ultimate team player.
He's always trying to thread it in there.
Yep, he is.
Victor Baylor Jr., your guy, 21 points. He's still hot.
Machine Gun Bailey, baby.
22.6 over the last three games.
Yeah, you can tell he's been at the target practice, at the range, letting it go, and it is showing on the court.
He was the guy that I kept hearing about from people up there. Like, I know we got Jaden Springer and Keon coming in, but I'm telling you, nobody can guard this guy.
Right, right.
And he lights it up from outside.
A lot of that is his confidence, too. His confidence, him coming from Oregon, he knows the college system, and then getting to see a year of Tennessee struggling with Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, but seeing the shots that they get, just praying for those shots, and he's getting them down, knocking them down.
So Dessou didn't play, Scottie Pippen Jr. didn't play, Cleavon Brown didn't play, and Scottie Pippen Jr., I love watching that kid play basketball. Dynamic guard. And then Dessou, I think, would have been a matchup problem for Tennessee.
He would have.
And so that's a weird situation. Just right before the game, I didn't even know. You texted me.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, man, Scottie Pippen and Dessou aren't playing. I'm like, oh, man. I was thinking like you. Like, how quick can I get this bet in?
let's get some change off this, man.
Yeah. So that how much do you think that affected them?
I think it affected both teams, honestly. I think, coming in and – Tennessee didn't know either. They found out just as we did. You know, they see guys down there in sweats and like, wait a minute, why they're not
rebounding?
Yeah, what are they doing? Yeah. So I think it was just a shock to them. I think Vanderbilt coaching staff had an inkling of what was going on. I don't think their players did because they looked shocked once they got on the court. Like, man, I'm starting. So you know, it was it worked out for both teams. You know, that day I think the guys got some good experience on the Vanderbilt side. And I was saying in the first half, man, this is. Honestly, an amazing job by Stackhouse to have these guys ready to go.
No doubt.
Yeah, that was big time.
And
but
they made 13 threes last night. And if they don't do that, and a lot of them were from deep and were contested.
Yep.
And weren't necessarily shots that you would want taken.
Exactly.
But that's what they do, right? That like is. They shoot the three.
Yep, they do. And they shoot it real well. Right behind Alabama in the SEC in threes made. The Alabama's making 10. I think Vandy is 9.2 or something like that. So but good bounce back in the second half by the Vols. That was impressive. And it was more so our offense that I was concerned with. That first half, man, we looked so stagnant and sloppy and, you know, pressing so much. But second half, they got it together.
Got it going and got to win. It wasn't pretty, but got to win. By the way, Tennessee will play at Auburn this weekend. Tennessee just added a game. They'll host Florida on Sunday, March 7th.
That is.
Tip-off time and TV information are to be determined. Tennessee will honor its seniors before that game. So Tennessee, Florida will be made up, and that's a big game because they both are tied for fourth place in the SEC, and Florida has the advantage due to that almost 30-point win against the Vols. And Florida was minus three starters in that game.
Yes, they were.
But those two teams jockeying for that double bye in the SEC tournament. So that's pretty big. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about some of the NFL storylines. John Clayton saying the Titans are one of three teams that lead for J.J. Watt. We'll go from there. 3HL, 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Ron Slay with you.
Man, bring me back out of my funk. You just put me in a funk, Brent. I wish you guys could have heard that conversation right there. I'm trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure it out.
Right. Like, so we talked about this yesterday. The one thing we can control is our energy level. Like, let's be up. Let's be positive. All those things. So then I go, how shocked were you that you didn't get drafted?
All the air.
Honestly, I've never talked with you about that. Like, no, I don't understand. Yeah. I still to this day don't understand.
I've never even talked about it on there.
You were the SEC player of the year. What in the world?
Man, listen at it, Brent, man.
You were hitting threes your senior year, yeah, so it couldn't everything, be that.
Everything. Yeah. So they went, man, SEC player of the year, All-American, which means you're the top 15, one of the top 15 guys in the nation. It's just, hey, I don't, man, no earthly idea. But one day we're going to be able to get somebody on air that's going to be able to tell us what happened. And I'm going to be here for it. It might be 20 years from now, and I'm come on in for a segment, and I'm going to be right here waiting with my hands rubbed together.
So the Miami Heat, you went to their summer league.
Yep.
So who did they take?
They took Jerome Beasley, who I believe went to North Dakota State. They took him in the second round. So it went the whole first round.
I've never heard of that guy.
Not me either at the time. So the thing is, I went to Chicago workout, killed. They were going to take me. They ended up taking a guy, Tommy Smith. Okay. I want to say from Arizona State or something like that. And then
I don't know that guy either.
Yeah, me either. It killed them in the workout. So it trickled down to Miami. Miami called me back for like 3 or 4 workouts, killed it. The guy that I was in the workout with, I dunked on him, called a dead body in the workout. And he New York drafted him with the first pick in the second round. I broke his nose. So Miami Van Gundy and then was like, you want to come back? I'm like, yeah, shoot, yeah. You know, I go back, have a great workout with small forwards this time.
Wait,
so
this is Stan Van Gundy,
this is Stan
right?
Van Gundy, yeah. Okay. So it's all like going cool great. Dude. He is. Off the court, not on the court. You got that high-pitched Blaine Bishop voice
like
going,
brother,
boy. Oh, he is something else, boy, I'll tell you. But it was cool, man. And then they go get Jerome Beasley from North Dakota State. 6'10 guy, you know, power forward thing was going on right then. They were saying I was more like a tweener. And then I forgot who the last guy they took. And then it all went to hell. I was like, man. And then they called me and was like, hey, we want you to come to summer league as soon as the draft was over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. I go down there, get in, do the work. It was between me and Udonis Haslem. And I have to tell you guys, that's a cliffhanger. I'm gonna leave y'all on the cliff for that one. We're going to bring up one back, Brent. That might be Trash Talk Friday right there, how that all went down with Udonis Haslem.
Yep. I remember he hit a shot in the bowling arena.
Yeah. The twist guy. Of fate on this one right here. Still my guy to this day. We're going to have to get him on the show one
time. You like
time.
Him?
Yeah, that's my guy, man. Real OG, dude. Real OG. Real one.
He played a long time.
Still on the contract.
So how tough was that to go, like, to watch the draft?
Oh, that was the tough. You know what? The draft was fine, but we had to get together at the Boys and Girls Club, Andrew Jackson Boys and Girls Club, and having to go out and talk to everybody and thank them for coming and let them know that this ain't the end of the journey. Dude, I had a lump in my throat that had to be as big as a crater. Like, it was hey, man, I don't know how I got through it. I was looking at people like, man. Dude, that was rough. And I remember the funny thing is Brandon Wright was sitting in that room that time. And when I interviewed him on the Boom Boom Room, he was like, man, I always remember that time. You know, wow. Like, man, I can make it. You know what I mean? I saw what you had to go through and everything, so.
Isn't it amazing that, like, in a moment like that, you can have impact on somebody's
exactly.
life? You just never know.
Yep, and
you
he
never
always
know
said it.
Who's listening and what they're going through. And I say that all the time on this show. Like, yep. I know some of y'all are going through some stuff right now.
Yeah.
And so we just try to be an escape.
That's it, man.
From whatever you're dealing with.
That's
but,
it.
And the other part of that message that's important is, whatever you're dealing with, you can make it through it.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep pushing.
And it's hard for people that are so far into whatever despair situation they are. That's not Brandon's story, but that just, I don't know, for whatever reason, made me think of people out there that are dealing with stuff.
One of the greatest things, too, though, Brent, man, social media wasn't around.
Yeah.
So, I kind of went, it may have helped if social media was around because I went into a shell, man. I was like, dude, get me on the first thing out of here. Miami tried to bring me back. For preseason and stuff, I was like, dude, get me as far away from America as possible. I went straight. That's how I got to Turkey. And
so you played in Turkey first?
Yep, Istanbul. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So
and you became one of the better international players.
Yeah. Great career over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. I know. I brought that up during the break. Right. yeah. I mean, and not even during the break. Like right before we went on the air. So yeah, man. You're an awesome storyteller, by the way.
Thanks.
Because I know that's not easy, but. But you've always said that you're most thankful for the time you spent at Tennessee playing basketball.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Would trade it all.
New news. Ian Rappaport with this story. The Titans have shopped first-round tackle Isaiah Wilson, sources say, open to dealing the former Georgia standout after a rough rookie season that included a suspension and a stint on the non-football injury list. A fresh start may benefit all parties, to say the least.
Wow.
I'd be really surprised if they can trade him, but might as well try, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to cast that line out there. And anything happen, guess what? Somebody will take a bait. This is professional sports. Somebody's always willing to take the bait.
With the J.J. Watt situation, John Clayton says the Titans are one of three teams that lead for J.J. Watt. And it's the Packers, the Bills, and the Titans. And he said probably Tennessee or Green Bay is what he said on the radio. The price tag, it looks like somebody reported that he's been offered $15 to $16 million.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of money for a rotational guy.
Whole lot. And you got to look at the other situations they're talking about. You're talking about the Bears where they have Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith. I'm talking about the Packers. Robert Quinn. So you got Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn doing that thing with the Bears, who getting a big old bag. Then you go over to Green Bay, and you got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. So, I mean, like, where does
Za'Darius
that fit in?
Smith is a
beast. Oh, man, monster. Dude, man, look at the game we saw between. Honestly, I loved the Super Bowl. But that NFC Championship, man, the trenches.
Yeah.
Oh, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, man. If you're an interior lineman or a person that loves schemes and things of football or just mano a mano, dude, them boys were getting added in the trenches. I loved every bit of it. So
Za'Darius Smith's agent, Bill Johnson, lives in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And he was more than interested in playing for the Titans.
So who could cover that $15 to $16 million with those two teams already getting the bag?
I know, because the Packers are in trouble.
Right.
Financially.
Right.
Titans are right at it.
Exactly.
So if somebody offered that to him and J.J. Watt and, I mean, hypothetically speaking, I mean, the guy's made
right,
as you said, a bag of money. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not the most important thing to him. So maybe fit, team, chance to win, all those things are more important to him than money. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys would have said $15.5 million,
I'm gone. Yeah.
But apparently he didn't do that. So
right.
We'll have to see. That's a lot of money, though, for J.J. Watt, especially when you consider, like, maybe you get two guys. Give me, like, a $10 million guy and a $6 million guy.
Yep.
And we go from there. I don't know.
And but, see, that's why I'm big. I'm big on them finding someone in free agency, man, especially someone trying to prove themselves. You know, that's totally different. You got Bud Dupree trying to come back, prove himself. Of course, it's just an ACL injury, and he's probably going to want a big old bag also. Big bag, people, when I'm saying bag, is a big old bag of money, you know, so you got to.
We all want that.
Man, you know what I'm saying? So then you got guys like Von Miller who's going to want to come back and prove something. Like $15 to $16 million, man, you expect it to have some production. I don't know if we're going to get that out of J.J. Watt at this point.
Do you want J.J. Watt at that kind of price tag? 615-737-1045. So we've got some NFL topics on the table. We've got Tennessee and Vandy on the table. 615-737-1045. Let's get Jordan in here next up on 3HL. Hey, Jordan, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're good, man.
How you doing, Jordan?
Good, good. Hey, with the Titans releasing Adam Humphries today, does this move bode well for Corey Davis being re-signed as a Titan? If not, receiver becomes a huge need and getting an elite pass rusher this offseason.
I don't think Corey Davis is back. Now, you know, I mean, anything's possible. I just I just see somebody else spending a lot more than they're willing to spend for a number two wide receiver.
I do, too. And then I think also when you look at it, who do you need more at this point? I would think Jonnu Smith. You know, I think he's more likely for them to be able to go and grab and spend a little change on him.
He would be my priority for what you just said. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, if the Titans had a tight end meeting right now, there would be no one in the room.
Right. That's
all three guys are free agents.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's a problem. I think Jonnu Smith's going to get some run on the market, too. So if I'm the Titans, I try to lock that thing down
very quickly.
And then maybe I move on to Jayon Brown, depending on what they think about David Long Jr. and if he can, you know, cheaper guy steps up. Like, I think Kenny Vaccaro is probably in trouble, if I would have to guess, because of that situation. Amani Hooker proved that he could play last year. Mm-hmm. Younger, cheaper, mm-hmm. Put him in.
Yeah, a lot of variables in this right here, man. But it's got to be some action moving quickly. You see them starting to starting to get some things going, you know, with signings and cutting people. So soon it'll unfold.
It will. 615-737-1045. Looks like a little Tennessee basketball call here with JC.
Bring it.
Next up on 3HL. Hey, JC, what's up?
Okay. First of all, I got three questions, and before I go into my three questions, I got a statement. Where's the sleigh ride? Is it in Knoxville? Is it in Nashville? Is it in the AM? Is it the PM?
Hey, man.
He's all over the bubble. I mean, where's the sleigh ride?
That's what you got to have. It's like Stevie Wonder, man. Just close your eyes and reach out there and feel, man. I promise the sleigh ride will be there. Whenever you need it, it's there. It's like Candyman. You say his name three times, here I am out here.
You're killing me. You're absolutely killing me, man. You're killing me with this sleigh ride thing. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited you're back on. I hope you're on for good, man. That would be a wise choice.
Appreciate it,
man.
Now,
look, man, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I think Tennessee needs some goons. You got your fist balled up?
Oh, yeah. I'm cool with you because I'm agreeing with you. They do need some goons. We got a bunch of good guys. We need some.
You said that before. Yeah. That it's a bunch of guys that might be too nice.
Yeah, we got some great guys. I want them to come date my daughter. Take her to prom, do it all, because I know they're going to have her back at 9.
We need a Charles Hathaway. We need a C.J. Black. We need a Ron Slade. We need a Harris Walker.
Facts.
We need some goons, man.
Facts.
I mean, we got a bunch of good guys, really good guys, but we need some goons. Are some goons coming? That's all I need to know.
You know what?
You know
what? To answer that real quick, I think being up there, I didn't get to go and see the COVID year, but in the preseason, but Corey Walker Jr., I think he's got a little bit of that in him. Yeah.
You know who else does? It's Keon Johnson. We're just not going
to
see it.
That's the whole problem,
because
man.
It would have shown itself in year two, yes, where he has the confidence to walk on the floor and go, this is my team.
Yes, it would have. Yes, it would
have. I think being a young guy, it's hard to do that.
It is. And you see him starting to do it now.
Yep.
You know, but yep. It's different. One thing about it, he is a very, very loyal young man. So selfishly, I want him to stay, young man, top 10, man. Top 10, he can't stay, man.
So you're trying to put that into the universe.
I'm trying so hard, but I know he's loyal, man, but that man's gone, man. He's gone. I hate it. Makes me hard to sleep at night, man.
They do have a McDonald's All-American point guard coming in.
And there you go. Now, one thing about it, that young man is a goon. He is a go-getter, and he performs on the stage when the lights are the brightest. I've saw him in the state tournament. I've seen him in the Peach Jam, which is the biggest tournament for AAU. Man, it was a lot of stars out there, and he shined the brightest. And he talked. He talked the talk, and he walked the walk. Shooting the ball, going to the rack, playing defense. All-American. We got him coming in.
A couple weeks ago, his team played the number one team in the country, and he did not back down in that game.
No, he did not. And the game before that, he played Oak Hill.
Yeah.
He played Oak Hill and beat Oak Hill. Yeah, I don't really like that Kennedy Chandler, but I'll accept it since you're going to Tennessee. Since you're going to Tennessee.
It's funny, too, because, Rick Barnes used to talk about, winning with three-star players.
Yeah.
You know, that just want it.
Yep.
And now he's transitioned into bringing these five-star guys in.
Yeah.
These one-and-doners in.
And you know what? The funny thing about that, Brent, the three-stars are the ones that recruited those five-stars. So, I mean, hopefully you still be able to go get the guys. That's why I'm impressed with a guy like Corey Walker. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing a guy like Corey Walker.
Yeah, and get done. For those that follow on a cursory level, he'd been dealing with injuries.
Right.
And that set him back. So, yeah, you'll see him next year.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right, 615-737-1045 at 3HL-1045. Folky, again, struggling yesterday, just 4 points. I think he took 2 shots, didn't he?
Yeah, no, those shots were, iffy. You know, I mean, I'm going to be honest, though,
it
man.
Looks like something's going on.
It is. I was just about to get in it, man. Yeah. And that's my guy, man. I love Folky, man. Mm-hmm. This is a guy, man, that battled injury. You know, he came in his freshman year and was going to work and then had that gruesome injury with his elbow and shoulder and wrist and all of that. And he bounced back and he came back last year, had a terrific year. Now you look this year and the fun, that's what I'm looking for, Brent. I don't see the fun in it for him. It looks like it's something weighing on, but I tell you one thing.
He was having fun last year.
Yeah.
No question.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Last night, he got a foul on the I forgot the kid's name, but the guy that came in the reserve for Vanderbilt. They called a charge on Fulke and Fulke pushed him. And if you looked over, Kim English, when Fulky came out, gave Fulky a big hug. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
That's the fire we want to see. So hopefully
okay.
something's turning the corner. So we'll see.
Also looks like something's going on with Pons, too. Like,
yep.
You know, a fully healthy Pons doesn't get dunked on.
No.
Credit to Vandy for getting that thrown down on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was a nice dunk.
That was nice.
But looks like something's going on. He had 10 points, 10 rebounds last night.
Yeah, that was good. So the effort is there. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, physical ability. I know one person hit me on Twitter and said, man, if you're going to post the dunks, post all the dunks. Listen, people, I went to UT. I went to UT. Y'all go find Mario Moore or Dan Lange or Matt Freese or some James Strong or somebody to post a Vandy video and commentate. I'm posting UT videos, people. It's only dead bodies walking around UT. We don't do that elsewhere.
Zombies.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to let you down.
I don't think Matt Freese's going to get into the dunk posting
he won't.
Business.
That's my guy, too. I love Freese, man.
I do, too.
I love Freese.
Yeah, he's over at CPA a lot, so I see mm-hmm. that guy a lot. He looks like he can still go, too.
Yeah, I bet. His son ran up on me and told me, man, hey, I'm Matt Freese's son. I was like, boy, your dad can play. You know, I tried to punk a lot of people.
His son can play.
Can he?
Yeah, he's 10, so he and my kid play in the same, what do you call that, flight league over at Brentwood yeah. Academy. And they're undefeated. We got one loss. The only way, thankfully, that we can play them is in the championship game.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Bennett is his name. He lefty.
Wow, and he's lefty.
You can't speed him up.
Yeah, play at his own pace.
Yep.
That's important.
He's going to be a player. Freezy, that's funny that you bring him up. We're bringing up everybody.
Hey, man,
we're
here for it, man.
Dan Lange. I wonder what Dan Lange's up
to. Man, you talking
that
about
guy
a problem?
Shoot it.
Hey, man, you talking about a problem.
Yeah, what did you do with him? Like, you put a big man on him, you got to go outside.
I was the big man they put on him. That man shot the ball like I wasn't even standing there, man. He was every bit of 16. It was like.
Just elbows right over the top of your head.
Man, as soon as Isaiah Victor checked out, they put me in. I know he was like, this
was
little
Lange.
Dude.
If I was like y'all, to say, hey, man, we're going to move this boom boom room out here.
Yeah, and that's what he did. That man was stroking that three, dude, and they were running so many screens, flat screens. I was like, this is.
But even if crazy. He missed, you're 27 feet from the basket.
Exactly. Exactly. Damn, yeah, was the
that's
truth.
A tough matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to try to guard you, too.
Oh, run him. Run him. Run him, Big Slay.
Brent Doherty, Ron Slay, 3HL. Happy birthday, Don Davenport. Y'all need to send her messages. I know. Some people have been doing that. Who did the mayor of Jolton sent a nice message to her. So I know she appreciates that. We'll be right back. 3HL 104. HL 104.5 The Zone. Sleigh Ride Thursday.
In full effect.
Back with Slay. It. Yeah, back with it. And we'd love to hear from you. Talking NFL. There are a lot of NFL stories out there, man. Jarrell Casey got released.
Mm-hmm. Russell demanding things.
Would you bring him back?
You know what? I don't see why not.
He was pissed.
Yes.
When he left.
Yes.
He was pissed.
Yes. I think
you
the fan base
that,
loves
though,
him.
And at some level, some point, yeah. you realize this is the business.
Yeah. It's bigger than our emotions. If we can take our emotions out of that, then I think everything will be fine. I think the fans would love to have him back. It's up to him. That would be the question. And what would he be looking for? Like, can you imagine him and Simmons and going to find a guy coming off the edge?
I think you can get Casey at this point coming off injury for like $6 million or something.
See, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
I just don't know about the whole vegan thing.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Have you ever tried that?
No. No. Hurry
we answered
up, no.
that quickly.
Yeah, no. Man, I tell you what, though, man. You watch guys that have done it. You know, you see professional guys that are athletes. Chris Paul did it.
Yeah, I could see it in the basketball world.
Right.
But when you're a defensive lineman,
yeah,
eating a bunch of plants,
nah, it's gonna be tough. Now it's still even in basketball, it's like. Your game drops off until your body, you get used to your body and your body gets used to you, you know, the stuff you're putting in it. So it's a little different, man. You saw guys go through it. Carmelo did it. Carmelo went through it and you saw the drop off he had. He's just now getting back to where he is. So I guess it prolongs your career, but as far as performance, a little different. trying to beat somebody 320 pounds.
He was light, too.
Yeah, very.
Very. He used to not be.
No.
He's a funny guy, too. He's not a football fan.
Really?
He loves playing. He loves the game, and he loves his teammates and everything about the game, but he didn't grow up watching football. Like he told me that he loved watching cartoons. He's a cartoon guy. So he wouldn't really watch football. He almost quit at USC because I don't know.
Wow.
I don't think they would bring him back personally, but I know that's a natural question when a former Titan gets released. What do you do? Also out there that Titans are reportedly shopping Isaiah Wilson, the offensive tackle.
Listen.
If J-Rob can make that deal happen, wow.
If J-Rob can go around the corner to the corner store and get a bag of chips and a orange fruit drink or a jungle juice, listen, man, let him go to the corner store. Make that trade, brother. Hey, if you can get anything.
It's a bag of chips.
Bag of chips. Chili cheese Fritos, hot flaming Cheetos. If you can get anything. If you can get a listen, man, if you can get a plain bag of Lay's, I'm going to go as far. If you can get a Boston baked bean, not even the whole pack, just a cool little Boston baked bean, you got to let him go, man. Anything.
You hit on something that's it's probably old school everywhere, but definitely old school Nashville with me and my guys running around when we were in high school and stuff, Jungle Juice.
Man.
Oh, my gosh. We would go
in the cartons.
We'd go run basketball games, and like I was telling you, over at Burton Gym at Lipscomb, which is torn down now, man.
Same.
You know when you get old, when stuff like you used to do gets torn down?
Yeah. That hurts, too, when you
like, I went to Stokes Elementary, like, fifth and sixth. I went there in sixth grade. We moved back to Nashville in sixth grade. So I went to Stokes. Thank God they haven't torn that down. They're not using it for anything. I know it's coming. They use the back, like, where the basketball courts used to be and all that stuff as parking for Lipscomb. But, man, they start tearing stuff down from your childhood. That's tough.
That hurts you.
But we used to take, we'd be running games with Charles Hathaway and those guys. Yeah. And we'd all have Jungle Juice sitting on the side.
Hey, man, it ain't nothing.
Like 39 cents for those little cartons.
Man, the best. Listen, they got the Jungle Juices in the plastic, like cartons right now. But in the cartons, those cardboard cartons, nothing like it with the red film around. Oh, man, that was it, man. You could bite on it and squeeze the juice out. All kind of stuff going on, man.
615-737-1045. So that's the big story of the day right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been several things. I mean, John Clayton says Titans are one of three teams that lead for J.J. Watt, Packers, Bills, and Titans. He later said he hasn't cut his list down to three. Like, this isn't recruiting. He just said, I think those are the three most likely teams.
Right.
And then he said Packers and Titans would be the most likely. But we'll see, because another report is that somebody made a $15 to $16 million offer. And that seems like a lot of money. Look, I love J.J. Watt. Yeah. That guy's motor goes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had John McClain on from the Houston Chronicle, and he said, look, I watched every snap of that guy last year. He's still got it.
Yeah.
He just didn't have anybody around him. So he was constantly battling through double teams. And some people say, well, he just had five sacks. And right. I get that, but five sacks would have been second on this team.
Sure would have. Sure.
Right behind five and a half from Harold Landry.
Yeah. Now, did you think, Brent, that the relationship?
No,
that's a big chunk. Yeah, you can do a lot. Did you think the relationships meant that much to entice him to come to the Titans, though, with him and Vrabel and Bowen?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that?
I didn't. I honestly, when they said that, I was like,
you can't make a decision based on that.
No, not off relationships. Not in this business. You know, it'll be different. Well, I mean, you're a championship contender, man. Maybe he knows something that we don't. I want to know what the backroom talk is like, because one thing about it, if the relationships are weighing on him, Vrabel has to be picking that phone up and calling. It's not even J-Rob at this point. It's Vrabel making these calls. So it's interesting to see moving forward.
Yeah, it will. I keep saying this is going to be one of the more interesting off seasons ever for this franchise. So you've got Jarrell Casey on the market. You've got the Titans in the mix for J.J. Watt. You've got Adam Humphries being released. Also, defensive backs Chris Milton and Breon Borders. You've got the Titans signing Julian Taylor, 6'5", 280-pound defensive tackle, seventh-round pick in 2018, coming off ACL surgery in 2019. So there are a lot of stories out there. Russell Wilson reportedly wants out of Seattle.
Yeah.
it's funny that these quarterbacks now have figured out that they have
got
swag,
the power.
Right?
Yep, we got the power. Exactly. And then one of the teams that he named was Dallas. Like, I could see Jerry Jones trying to put a package together to hurry up and get Dak
out
of there.
I like the Chicago possibility, too. Like, he seems like he fits that town.
Yep, he does.
But Dallas's problem is if they franchise Dak again, it's like $37 million, something like that.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson tweeted out today, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever, in all caps, forget it." We retweeted it and wrote, "Good point." So, I mean, you were telling me you read a story that he met with the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And said that it's no way, no how am I playing for the Texans this year. Now, that's different than what we heard yesterday. You know, that's why it kind of shocked us. What was our guy on that was with us? Telling us about it. Tom. Yeah, there you go. Yep. So he was like, man, he expects him not to be in that jersey. And he's saying he's digging his feet in.
Yeah,
Todd I'm not
Furman
moving.
Said that surprised me.
Yeah.
We were like, which way would you bet?
Right.
He's like, on him not being in Houston.
Yeah, and here we go. You hear Deshaun Watson saying this.
Yeah, watch those Vegas guys, man. They know stuff.
They do. They got an inside track. Only tell you just enough.
Yep, let's get Alan in here real quick from Nashville. Alan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Ron, I want to pick your brain a little bit about last night's game. First of all, in my opinion, if the two Vanderbilt players that were out play last night, Vanderbilt wins that game by 10 points.
Maybe, but the game goes a different way.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're clearly better with those guys, but they still hit 13 threes. The game goes differently.
Mm-hmm.
Ron said earlier it looked like Tennessee was working on some things.
Yeah.
I
believe so.
I tell you what, after watching Tennessee all these years, you kind of get a feel for the mentality when the game starts, and I didn't have a good feel for it last night. But anyway, I want to pick your brain about NBA potential for Pippen. What do you think about him? Do you think he's the best point guard in the league?
You know what? I think that's a stretch. Do I think he's in the top five? Yes, without a doubt. But as far as being the best point guard, that's tough to say when you see Javonte Smart. Yeah, Sharif Cooper. Then you got Trey Mann. You got guys putting up triple doubles. Like it's a little different in this league as far as point guard goes, but he's right up there.
He's good though.
Yeah, with coming with point guard, that has to translate to wins in order to be a very, very good point guard in this league. If you can't win, and that's part of it, I think he came out the gate scoring a lot of points. Then he started to figure out, okay, let me get my teammates involved, and you know, it started to translate to them being more competitive. That's still a piece away, so I think right now he would be a second rounder, come back next year and have the same output with about five or six more wins in SEC play. He can move up to a late first round.
I think he's got some more room on his ceiling too, because he's a lot better now than when he came into the league.
Listen.
So that's a guy that's working on his game.
Yeah, I thought they were holding Saban Lee back by playing him so much. And then it was like when Saban Lee left, they took the shackles off and he went berserk. So I like what Pippen has headed. He's definitely trending up, man. Definitely going to be a top five guard in this league. Come back next year, he definitely top two or top three.
Love it. Brent Doherty, Ron Slay talking NFL, Tennessee basketball, Vandy basketball. We've got a lot going on. We'll be right back. 3HL 615-737-101.